Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to the Thursday, November 6th edition of the show. John Martin off for the week. You guys know that by now. It's probably for the best, especially with what's going on right now when it comes to basketball in the 901. It's not just Grizzlies. Another loss last night. We'll get to that. Penny's got concerns. Oh, Lord. Y'all know how worried John gets about Tiger basketball, and I don't think Penny Hardaway did anything yesterday in that availability session, that presser he had, to alleviate any concerns that John might have had going into the season, or that any of us might have had. He's concerned. They're having team meetings before the season has even started. Now Brad and his UNLV team, coached by Josh Pastner, is already 0-1. I don't know that they've had team meeting yet. They lost to UT Martin. That was a real game. Memphis lost two exhibitions to Arkansas and Auburn, and we went on and had the team meeting already. So I'm not sure what it means. Usually you don't see them this early. We'll get into all that. I mentioned the man. Brad Carson is here.
Hey, how's
it
going?
He's working today. Hey. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, Deacon Smith, in the house.
He's a working man.
He is on the Grizz beat. He's part of Grind City Media. He's part of 92.9 FM ESPN. He's part of the community. He is a deacon. He is a... awesome person.
Thank you for doing that.
And he is terrific at radio, and it's good to be here. It's an honor.
I have joy, and it's a joy to work with you, especially when you turn on the gas. Very well done. Thank you. You reversed it.
I'm trying to do my Jason, you know. But it's not false. It's factual.
I appreciate that. Yes. Much like I talk about with you. It's the Holy Spirit.
And it is beautiful outside, by the way. I know there's some bad stuff, and I know you're going to get to that here in the open, but it is nice outside.
You're a man that's looking for some good things. Hey, Tiger football plays Tulane.
Hey,
that's something good.
Hey.
And then Scott in here yesterday, the athletics director, talking about it. I'm hype. It's a blackout.
Yes.
Haven't got my tickets yet. I'm going to drag CJ there after basketball practice. That ends at 5:30. Good in that case that it's an 8 o'clock start. That'll give us some time to go over there. Now, what it does mean is late finish on a Friday night. And you are going up against some things. You've got Grizzlies playing on Friday night. You got high school football playoffs going on as well, but I figured that place is going to be packed out. What are we talking about here? Huge match. That's something good going on in Memphis right now. There's no question about it.
It's good. Tell me something good, as Mavis said.
Hey, there's one. Former Tiger Jalen Duren went off last night. Did you see that? That's good.
I did see
kinda.
That.
I mean, he doesn't play for the Grizzlies. He plays for the Pistons, but that's good.
He's
We're looking
good.
For the good news because, you know, there was even more bad news. See the stuff on Tony Allen?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Man. We're going to have to get to that as well. I know, we don't like to talk about Tony getting arrested.
I didn't even recognize that county in Arkansas.
You see that brother he was with?
His friend?
I say brother. I mean, he's a brother. My brother in Christ.
He was Caucasian.
White dude. White dude.
Yeah,
white
he
dude.
Was.
And my guess is he'll be taking the charge. He looked like the take the charge
yes,
guy.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he didn't look like the grindfather taking a charge. He took another one.
Turns out Tony was going to Funky Town. Now, that's going to be a reference that some don't know, but some do.
Heard that.
And let's hope everything gets cleared up there. But certainly,
amen,
that was more bad news yesterday.
It was.
Grizz go down for the fourth straight game, 124-109 to the Houston Rockets. We're going to talk about it. Houston's good. Sure. So you could dust it off if you want to. Old Smooth, I was just watching last night, just looking for a spark.
Same.
And I guess at one point they cut that thing to four. I think it was in the third quarter. You thought, is this the spark? And then Houston very quickly put you away. We're going to get into it. The Ja Joy watch, was it there last night? I'm going to ask Brad what he thinks. Jaren, six shots, one in the first half. What's going on? What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on with this offense, Isolo? Yeah. I'm trying to laugh because
it's really
ugly.
Laugh through the tears.
If it was a house of cards, offensively, it has fallen. It is a mess to watch right now.
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway, we mentioned. Well, we'll get into his availability. There it is.
Yeah, thank you.
We could do it every night at this point. What's going on with Ja's three-point shooting?
Jaren, 1 of 6 from out. You weren't even shooting the ball.
Jaren took 6 shots, man, one in the first half.
Yeah.
He just is. Is that not knowing your way or not even trying?
Actually, it could have been. Remember when maybe Greg Doyle asked LeBron in that clip we have there, superstars being superstars. What's going on? Why aren't you being a superstar? You're a superstar. You're paid like a superstar.
He's trying to figure it out, man, in this new offense. That's what they say. Before we get to all that, you can tell it's going to be a lot of good news today.
Yeah.
There are good things in this world to be happy about, including the fact that Brad and I woke up this morning and got to do this here. First hour, we will talk Grizz. At noon, we'll do the rundown tragic story out of Frisco, Texas. You see that?
I did.
Dallas Cowboys lineman, just 24 years old.
Yeah.
Dead. We did not have details as of early this morning, but Marshawn Nealon, who actually scored, he had a touchdown in the game against Arizona. You see that?
I did. This is just
a tragic story there. We'll discuss in the rundown at 12:30 or so. We've moved some things around. Drew Hill, Grizzlies beat writer and columnist for the Daily Memphian, going to join us then rather than his usual 11:30 spot. We'll talk about what the Grizzlies are going through right now and, more importantly, how they're going to get out of it, especially with what's coming up on the schedule. It does feel like Zach Edey is close. We've seen him now have a practice. He's been in shoot-arounds. Hopefully that's going to help some of these things, but I'm not sure it fixes everything. Then at 1:25 or so, our brother, our friend, Bennett Doyle, producer of the Gary Parrish Show on Grind City Media, is going to join us in his usual Thursday slot. We'll talk Grizz and some Tigers because I like to end it positive.
Yeah, that's good news.
Ask Ben if he's going to game tomorrow night. No, he won't be because he's got Grizz. Grizzlies got Dallas tomorrow looking to snap what has now become a 4-game losing streak. As we mentioned, 124-109. Grizz lose to the Houston Rockets. These first quarters. You get outscored again by 12, 34-22 right there in the first quarter. We've been saying, when are we going to see the adjustment to the slow starts in the first? Sure, we can talk about Ja Morant not hitting threes, Jaren Jackson Jr. only having one shot in the first half, and those are things there at the top. But they've been on the floor for these starts, and they've all been slow. And so, again, I keep looking over at Cedric Coward, who Isolo's he addressed it last night in terms of why they're not starting him, was asked about it. But KCP's not shooting the ball well. In fact, you didn't even believe this. He's shooting it worse from two than he is from three, and it's bad from three. We'll get into that. But right now, you got Ja Morant shooting 14% from three-point range. KCP, who we all thought was going to be better in terms of shooting, right, than he was in Orlando last year, he can't hit a thing. And Jalen Wells hadn't been shooting the ball well. Hit one last night, but he's not a guy that you've been able to depend on. So when are you going to get – when do you shake up what you're doing in the first quarter just so you have an adjustment there rather than waiting to adjust in game? This has been on a game-to-game basis. And, again, you're playing catch-up right out of the gate. Houston shoots 56%, 57% there in that first quarter, and they're off and running. As I mentioned to Brad, we were looking for the spark. They cut it to 60-56, and then 24-7 run, pretty much done, all done. And if you're still watching looking for a spark, there wasn't one. I mean, for the rest of the way. So, yeah, Houston's good. We said that going in. There's no question about it. They're still good defensively with Dylan Brooks gone. Maybe even better with Jalen Green now out of there. KD and some, A++ defender, but he's sneaky good. And then Thompson he's the guy. so sticky, so versatile. What he does athletically in terms of defensively, I mean, it's there. That's a good team. My point of making that that's common sense. You could dust this off if you want to. If the Grizzlies are going to lose four in a row, that's the one I would have picked. Right, hurt a little bit, and maybe sort of brush this off. Hey, let's go get the win against Dallas. That's certainly what Ja Morant was sort of saying after this game. He was different. He said what he needed to say for the most part after this game. So we got to turn the page, which is correct. The problem is it's the way you're losing them, right? And it's that your two stars right now don't seem very happy with the offense. Let's just state the obvious. Stop beating around the bush. You know, sure, Ja sort of, you know, stop. So I would say pouring gasoline on this thing. I mean, he's had a couple of, times to shut this. We didn't, last night he didn't continue this. I'm not sure if we agree. You go ask them. Ask the coach staff. Ask the front. Did they say? What's that? We stopped that last night.
Yeah.
But you're still also seeing a guy that's frustrated. He talked about it afterwards. You know, Ja said it. I mean, it's happening. This is, he's pointing out what's happening. No one could hit outside shots. So Jaren has no space to operate and get shots. Keep in mind, you traded Desmond Bane. The guy out that was hitting shots yesterday was Cam Spencer, right? Like you've been looking for this just because it's so bad. Went and looked. I think you're 25th in the league in 3-point shooting, 33%. 25th. Hard to create space when you can't hit shots. And your main guy. I mean, we have to keep going back here. And Ja raised his hand. He said, "I got to shoot it better." 14%. 14% for Ja Morant, who I think last night goes, 1 of 7 from three. He's 1 of 7 from three last night. He's made 1 of his last 17 attempts. 1 of his last 17.
Damn.
This is why Desmond Bane was so important, because of the shooting. It helped create the spacing. Taylor Jenkins, Isolo, whatever, that's the spacing that your offense needs, and particularly a guy like Jaren Jackson needs to operate. You can't get any. And Josh said that, rightly so, after the game. But back to the point. He seems frustrated. Jaren seems frustrated. And we've talked a lot about Ja since what happened in the second half of that Lakers game and the suspension. But it's really the two of them. They can't get right in this offense right now. Now, some of it, again, Ja, look at the turnovers for him last night. My point is, you're not going to get much done at all when your point guards, no matter how good he is 1 of 7 from three and has 6 turnovers in that game. So it's going to be hard to get any spacing going. But this is not to put anything, all of it, on Ja or on Jaren. It's on all of them. It's on those two in particular and Isolo to get this worked out. They say they're trying to get it worked out. It doesn't look like it on the floor. We're not, and that's why I would say it's different than just a sort of, hey, you lost to a good team in the West last night. Let's not worry about too much about this. It's the fact that nobody's looked like they're on the same page now for a while, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. You continue to have the, unfortunately, characteristic slow starts in the first quarter. You're not making any adjustments there in terms of starting lineup. And so what can fix it? Is it, do we sit here and, expect the return of Zach Edey to fix all of this? It's not. It will certainly help Ja. His screens will create space, but if nobody's hitting shots, Brad, if the shots aren't going to drop, if KCP's going to stay this broke, it's what we call it growing up. He's broke, can't hit a shot. If Ja's going to stay this broke, it's going to be hard to ask Zach Edey to create all the space, and all of a sudden Jaren gets going. He's getting double-digit shots like he should be, and all of a sudden this offense starts looking like something that's not the 26th rated offense in the league right now, 26th in offensive rating. So yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful about Zach Edey's return, but I'm very doubtful that it's going to clean this up. KCP, I mentioned he's shooting better from three. It ain't good. 30.6%. He's 11 of 36 than he is from two. You saw the frustration last night coming out of him. Seems to me like he's begging to be taken out of it, at least to start the game. Go ahead and get Cedric Coward, who didn't shoot it well last night, but God bless that dude. He does a little bit of everything else. The guy comes off the bench. He gets you, 9 rebounds. That's the thing about Cedric Coward, is even when he's not hitting shots, he was 2 of 10 last night. He's doing a little something of everything else, whether it's defending, whether it's rebounding. So that's why I want to get him in there. What is the point? I realize I don't know the rotations and the patterns and the sub-patterns. I don't have all the analytics and the circles that Isolo talks about. That
that I can't understand, Brad. All I got's my eyeballs. And my eyeballs say this offense is a hot mess right now. So if Ja's not going to hit shots and KCP's not going to hit shots, it goes back to Isolo shaking this thing up. You got to get Jaren re-engaged. You can't just sit around here and say, we'll figure it out, or pin it all on a second-year center coming in saying, you got to fix this on your own. Listen, I, and that's on Isolo. But I said it yesterday, and I've said it all week. This it goes up higher than him. It goes up to Zach Kleiman because he's the one that what was the analogy we used, Brad? He's the one making the gumbo, right? And you put these ingredients in there, and so ultimately it does stop there. But you've got this. Let's be real, y'all. That 9 games didn't count last year. Those playoffs. This is a rookie coach trying to figure it out on the fly with a shorthanded roster. There's no question. Four key guys out. But with his top two guys, it feels like right now not on the same page with him. Bro, you're not going to get anything cooked like that. That's why it's not, to me, just another loss. Or in this case, a loss to a good team you just brush off. Where's the fixing coming? You know, when we going to get when are we going to be stirring it up and feeling positive again and seeing a spark? I think last night, again, here's what I'll say. Yeah, expected Houston to win that game. But I'm looking for the spark that can at least be the little flame of hope, right, Brad? And I was thinking about driving in here. Really, the only spark you saw in them cutting it to 4 was like maybe if you took all them bricks that are up right now and you hit them against each other right now, we get more spark than we're seeing out of Ja and Jaren in particular. And it's dangerous, man. Here's what I'm even more concerned about. It's so dangerous when it seems like those guys can't get on the same page with the coach. Because it's dangerous for the rest of the team, right? You have so many young guys. You have so many new guys. It's dangerous for them. Again, I'm seeing more spark out of Cedric Coward than I'm seeing out of this team's two stars right now. Shouldn't be like that. Josh should be setting the tone. Did you see last night KD telling T that your son doesn't want to be here?
I had to laugh at it. Sorry.
T was laughing. Some of it clearly was in
jest.
Because I think T said back to him, you don't even know where you are. You changed teams so much. Like, they were all laughing.
They were joking around,
Now, KD was, KD has become, and you and I were talking about this before, the ultimate troller.
Right.
Whether he's getting on Anthony Edwards publicly about his baby mama drama and the child support issues, or, Ja and everything he's got going on here, shooting it right at T, saying, your boy don't even want to be here.
You want to hear it?
If you think it'll play. If folks hadn't... There it is.
You don't want to be here.
He said, this is your last weekend here.
This is your last weekend. And they are laughing. Now T thinks shooting, it's fun.
They're having fun going back and forth with KD. So I'm not going to sit up here and put a lot of stock in it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, man, this is the can of worms that Ja opened up the other night.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
After that LA game.
Makes it a little more playful, at least. You know, you got to laugh.
It hurts me. I didn't laugh. Now, again, I'm not putting any stock in or saying this is suggestive of anything that Ja wants to get out or anything.
No, I don't either.
What I'm saying is, this is what happened when you opened Pandora's box. We got Kleiman's got gumbo. It's a mess right now. It stinks. But Ja opened up this box when he went public. This is why we said you needed to shut it down. You know, KD probably would have already said something anyway, but let's be real. The whole NBA's chimed in by now. Whether it's Richard Jefferson, you've had, Gilbert Arenas come in. They're watching huddles, talking about Ja's disengaged, basically.
It's everywhere. It's a hot button.
So, again, that's another reason why I hope to see sort of a team on the same page, at least a little bit of a spark, to help shut some of that down.
Right.
Now, T's laughing at it. You go playful with it. He's shooting it back at KD, and that's all fine and dandy. But, man, you know, it's hard to not wonder, at least for me, when I'm watching Ja in these games, and he held his hand up and said, I've got to be better. But it's hard for me not to wonder, okay, is it the coach? Or is it you're checking out? Do you want to be here? Do you still believe in the plan? You know, I can't help but wonder it, because I'm not seeing it on the floor. We were trying to figure out,
You know, it is a thing that's making it tougher, especially when you have an offense that features a lead guard like John. That's what Isolo's offense is geared to do. When he's shooting 14%, when you're trying to think of a lead guard the NBA that shoots the ball that poorly from the outside, that literally your defense is begging, please shoot the ball.
Yep.
Right? That's going to play into our hands. We couldn't think of many. There was a guy I thought of this morning who was a dynamic point guard, team leader, made players around him better, that when he came into the league, go old school, Brad, you might be able to look in my eyes right now and think of who I'm talking about. Dynamic point guard, played at Cal, went on to become a multiple-time all-star. He got in the league and his three-pointer sucked. Now, different player than Ja, unathletic, but he had a vision probably better than Ja. His name was Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he got in the league how bad his three-point shooting
was?
It
was bad.
27% his first year. Got that, you know.
But it improved, right?
A couple of years later, 32. Yeah, it went up and down early, 31% another year. But I'm getting to that point. I'm getting to what you're thinking about, Brad. He worked on it, man.
Worked his
ass off.
Because
it was such a weakness in his game. It was the same thing. He worked on it. And it got, God bless him, by the time he was done, I'm looking at his career right now, he was up to a 35% shooter from three-point range. He came in awful, okay? Now, that ain't something that's, I mean, you'd still look at that. You said, Jace Kidd couldn't shoot three. He couldn't. But it was something he worked on. He had a couple of seasons where he shot, I don't think north of 40, but right at 40%. Point was, man, the guy kept working on it throughout his career. And by the end of it, at least it wasn't a deal where he couldn't hit the open three or in the way that they had early in his career, teams could game plan against it. Men said, we don't have to go over that screen. And he worked on it.
Yeah.
We've all been fans of Ja Morant, big time, right? Loved him, said he's the best thing for the franchise. But where is the work on the three-point shot?
So here's what I think. I think he's worked on it because if you look at the free throw shooting, which a lot of shooting experts will tell you it's an indicator, not a all-be-all, end-all, but if you are burying a bunch of free throws like Ja is at the percentage clip he is, because it's a muscle reflex, right? He's almost like, I think, 98, 99. He's only missed like one free throw all year or a couple. My point is, I think he's worked on it, Jason. I think this offense is
a bad
fast.
Start? You think it's a bad start from three for Ja?
I think he's a bad shooter from three. I think, but the these guys have to get the ball up quickly. I think the way the offense, like Cam Spencer, he's actually hit quite a few. But, like, he's releasing the ball quickly in those sets.
I mean, Cam Spencer's got a beautiful shot.
He's an elite shooter. Whereas Ja, you know, you got to get in some sort of flow. But, no, I don't think he's a great shooter, and I think it certainly hurts them. But they knew that already. That's not, you know.
Are you a believer that you can improve your three-point shot over your career?
Ben Simmons didn't.
No, I don't know how much Ben worked on it. You're right. That's a good example. But did Jason Kidd not show us that you can?
You can. You got to really have a lot of want to and a superior work ethic, I think.
I've heard about that correlation between good free throw shooters and good three-point shooters. And you're right. Ja Morant is shooting 96, a career-high 96% from the free throw line. He's shooting a career-low 14% from three.
I know.
It does not correlate this year.
No, it's
and
not.
And while I'm sure Ja Morant shoots threes in the offseason, this is part of the crumbling of your offense, especially after you send out a Desmond Bane, bring in a KCP, don't have a Ty Jerome or a Scottie Pippen to help with it.
Yeah.
It's glaring right now.
Oh, that's fair.
And it's the worst it's ever been. And last night he was content to sit back and shoot seven of them, only make one. Like I told you guys, it's one of his last 17. So listen, everybody's got a hand up in this. Isolo, Jaren, Ja. I mean, it's hard to put it on any of the guys beneath them because none of them, they're all role players. They're all supporting cast. It's those three in particular. And I don't know what the fix is for Ja Morant. You know, all of a sudden he's going to start shooting 40%. No.
No.
But what he can't do is sit back, jack from three, shooting 13, 14%. It's going to bury you before you even get started.
That's true.
How do you address that? Well, Cedric Howard shooting it. Hey, he didn't shoot it well last night, but he's shooting better than KCP. Go do something now, Isolo, to help create the space. And Jaren, when you get it, be more aggressive. Stop acting like this offense ain't just for you. You know, it ain't for you. You've got to find a way to get this done. Some are already saying Isolo's the wrong coach.
I think it's too early to make the judgment. Now, I was critical of the way they went about this. And I even said the type of coach I thought John Morant needed. But once Zach Kleiman made the decision, I do interviews, you're going to make this. We're all in. Here's the reason I would say, Brad, we can't make the judgment yet. He doesn't have his roster. Doesn't have Edie. How important would Ty Jerome be right now with his shooting to create that space?
Yeah,
very
he would
important.
Help. He would help.
How much could Scotty help you just in terms of defensively out on the perimeter with his dog? And, you know, yeah. You're looking for dogs right now. Kleiman went down the list of dogs he thought he had. You know, that's you don't have Scotty defensively. That's one of your dogs. That would help right now. Those guys can help. Do they fix it and make you a good Western Conference team? Or no, probably not. We'll see. But they can absolutely help. And back to the point, I think that's why we have to reserve judgment on whether or not Isolo is going to be able to fix this, whether or not he's the guy for the job, at least until Edie's back. My gosh, Jock can't, you know, there's not a space guy. Jock Landale, sub. You know, he's supposed to come in here and play Edie.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless him. He's one of your best three-point shooters. Mm-hmm. But he can't help create the space that Jock needs too. So, you know, I think it's unfair, as concerned as I am, that this guy may never be able to speak Ja's language. And I said that beforehand. I still think it's too early to say he can't do this. We got to see it with the other guys. Hopefully Edie's close. Brad's sitting there, man, and he's got this look on his face like, Jason, this doesn't sound good.
Get beat by eight dudes last night with a tight rotation and a bunch of ballers, and I don't think adding more players is going to help.
Is this a negative view or a?
I think it's a positive.
Call it like it is.
View. I actually if I'm being positive, I take that perspective because you're waiting for the reinforcements. But as I said before the season, if Ty Jerome is your golden gift to a winning season, God bless you. Good luck.
Ty, Zach, are you ready to say it? And again, I'm asking, are you ready to say Isolo ain't the guy?
Oh, yeah. I said that before the season. And especially because you didn't see it through in year. I actually think you'd had a better chance of being the right guy if you see it through the last year, because then you have you get to see it through. And then also for the fan base, you get to see it either conclude or keep going. And so that was, to me, part of that. It's actually connected to last year.
One thing that's always kind of struck me about this is, especially right now as I look to see if Ja and Jaren can get on the same page with him, is Isolo did have time last year to work with them and sort of get them to, you know, start developing that relationship. Mm. Last year, before the Jenkins firing, before
sure.
the last nine
yeah,
games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean, because yeah. he's basically the lead assistant.
He was the lead assistant.
Now, yeah. We know things got crazy and philosophies got pitted
yeah.
and guys, Taylor Jenkins, went rogue.
Yeah.
But Isolo had time to be around those guys. Now, I'm not suggesting he's like, hey, you start going to him and start talking about, hey, what you would do in your system and start working on him as their soon-to-be head coach. But my point is, you know, he didn't just start talking to these guys and trying to speak their language, mm-hmm. trying to like get to know what makes them tick, what they need.
Yeah.
With those last nine games last year, he's had them. And so that's why I say it's another reason why it's so surprising to me that it seems like they're already out with him.
Yeah.
Because remember, last nine games of last season, Ja got back in that lineup, yeah. which was a statement, Isolo coming back. Edie's setting screens. Things looked good, on same page, get off-season, media day, everything's good. And then, what were we, five games in, halftime, 3-2, halftime against the Lakers, and it's all gone downhill since. The fact that, again, you were 3-2, not 0-5, that's what's made this strange. And, you know, you've been working with Isolo for a minute.
Sure.
And we thought that you thought the switch was good for you. So to see them bail,
yeah.
and so, you know, almost like they're not even speaking the same language is so odd so early in this season, particularly, you know, when early on you were doing pretty good at 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right? a fair point. The challenge is Ja's not a leader, though. You know, like, it takes two to tango when it comes to leadership. And so Ja, I think, is one of these guys. He's a player who would quickly pivot and get in the lineup and say, that's the coach and he's the guy. But we've kind of seen how he operates. So I don't know if he's the guy for it.
I hear you. I would push back. I would say Ja is a leader,
unfortunately, there are times where I think he doesn't know how to lead. Whether, okay, he clearly felt offended by whatever Isolo said to him, right, but with the way he responded to the media and everything else. But I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we said that this is not a player who, again, makes, when he has the joy, makes guys around him better. Kyrie Irving had trouble early on figuring out how to lead younger guys, especially with that Boston Celtics team, which he basically would throw under the bus, these guys ain't ready, whatever else. It took Kyrie a while before he went from really like 1B, right, with LeBron. I mean, he always had that guy. When it was his time to do it, he wasn't necessarily ready. He would say the wrong things and everything else. And yet he finally found his way. And that's what I'm saying. If you say Ja's not a leader right now, and I know some of the things he does would make you question that. Well, can you make the case that he can't get there? Again, I still think Ja can lead. What I think he struggles with sometimes immaturely is when things are coming at him. He's struggling, whatever it is. Can't get on the same page with coach. And that leadership takes the wrong turn. But here's the point. You're still the leader. They're following you. And even when you're struggling right now, they're looking to you to set the tone. And while, yes, you said all the right things there last night, I still didn't see any joy. I still didn't see a guy who believes he can pull this team out of it. That concerns me. Brad, I'm not going, you know, if you think Isolo's wrong for it, Ja's wrong for it, sound like you're ready to chunk the whole team. That's fine. And I understand that frustration, but I ain't there yet. And again, all part on Isolo's getting the injuries back. And then with Ja, I don't know, man. My deal, I was telling some folks last night, like you kind of, I know you say all the right things. Nobody's going to ask you at this point, probably, unless something else happens, whether you want to be here. But let's see it on the floor, right? There's a way to do that. And I since halftime of that Lakers game, I ain't seen that guy back. Yeah. I ain't seen that joy back. It's my point is, it'd be nice to know if he's still all in at this point. Is this just about the coach and the offense, or you trying to make a statement here? You know, kind of.
Yeah. No, I think you make some really good points. And the Kyrie example is perfect because with Kyrie, it took a couple teams for him to get there.
Yes.
I think that's exactly
guys
right.
Guys mature at different rates.
And then he landed there. And yes. It took a couple of trades. It took a couple different teams, a couple of maneuvers.
Playing with other stars.
Yeah. And he got there.
You know, Ja, I think Ja can get there.
I do too.
I don't know if Isolo can help shepherd.
I don't know if he can get there with what you got
that
here.
That process.
Yes, this may not be the one.
Because here's what I'll say. This goes back to, you know, we've done a lot organizationally, and it's probably contributed to this, Brad.
Yeah.
They've done too much coddling. And so, and you've had to, right? Because it's small market. You're scared to lose a star, whatever else. Josh, you got, you did. And so when you check him after the Lakers game, what happens? Well, because he's been coddled the whole time, he reverts. But again, that's one of the first you're figuring. It hasn't happened very often. He's gotten the slap on the wrist when he's done bad, and it's been on ESPN and everything else from the organization that's going to come regularly. But is anybody over there really telling Ja, bro, you're killing us from three right now? Or this stuff you're doing right now where you've got no fire, it's terrible for the rest of the team. Isolo firing back at him clearly pulled something out of him that, in terms of that presser, hey, go ask the coaching staff, pulled a pretty quick frustration out of him. That would seem to indicate to me, man, he wasn't used to kind of being pushed back on. You know what I'm saying? So some of that, I would say, if Ja's having leadership issues due to maturity, some of that's on the Grizzlies. Some of that definitely is on the organization with the way you've handled things. There's a lot here, y'all. Underline this all, and the bottom point is because you've got so much wrong right now. Now, do you you've still got one of the best defensive players in the league, right? A former defensive player of the year in Jaren Jackson Jr. Do you recognize this defense? It's 23rd in the league.
No, not really.
It doesn't resemble anything that we've seen. You have no identity. None. You're 26th offensively, 23rd defensively, you're 25th in net rating. Again, yes, reinforcements, hopefully on the way. It's really two. You know, that I'm hopeful for Edie and Ty Jerome. Because Scotty, it sounds like, is going to be out for a minute. You know, that's no time soon. It's at least 3 months, right? And maybe, who knows, maybe longer. And then BC, can you really have any, sort of
confidence in that he can get back to the guy that he was. I'm just saying I'm less confident in those two and what they can do to help fix this right now than the two that see, that will be back earlier and Zachary and Ty Jerome.
My thing with Zach, though, Jason, not to interrupt, is
please.
We keep talking about Zach Edey, but this dude's fragile, too. Like, to me, I'm concerned about his health going forward. I will make a prediction. That son of a gun's going to get hurt big time and be out again this season. Mark my words on it. He's a fragile, tall dude.
Well, I mean, you're asking him to play at one of the fastest paces in the league, so it's kind of outside of what he did in college and everything
else. It's 100% chance
guy.
It's coming.
So hopefully he's in good shape. Hopefully that ankle had surgery.
That ain't the savior. I'm sorry, folks.
He's been rolling ankles ever since the summer league of his first
Facts.
Year. Facts! So, yes.
Show me a tall guy that looks like Zach Edey.
The idea that he's
going to
come back and play 65-plus or whatever it's going to be at his size, playing the play, and then everything that you're asking him to do, come set screens, come roll to the basket, come rebound for
Joke.
Us because we need it.
We need you to be physical.
Like,
good
like
luck.
I pray to God he's going to be
too.
Superman like that. Because they absolutely need it. And frankly, you don't have anything, you know, Jock Landale, yes, solid sub. I guess that'll be okay, but you got nothing that's athletic behind him. Nothing that you can necessarily depend on every night. You certainly can't bang on Landale to be one of the bangers for you down low.
Yep.
He's not that. So, a lot going on. It's on, you know, right now Isolo's got to get Jaren and Jai on the same page. Get them in a room together. I don't care what it is. Man, crack a joke. Do something. Get somebody to laugh. Get some joy or something going again. But just get some positive good feelings going, you know, to try to curb this. Wins can do a lot. It is. When you pile the losses on, Harrington made the point, it's easier for those guys to be, you know, maybe – you know, in terms of leadership right now, it's tough to be positive when you've lost four in a row. But let's be real. This has been a downward spiral since halftime of the Lakers game. You were winning.
That's right.
And that's what I've always said about coaches in this point. You're two stars. You got to pull them out. But this is where, hey, you're in an airplane. You're spiraling out. This is where Isolo's got to pull them out of it. And you can't, whether it's Dallas, there's an opportunity there because Dallas is struggling. I know Ant is day-to-day, so don't know whether or not he'll play. Yes, Kyrie's out, but that's still a team that's got some players on it. They could come in here and beat you. There's an opportunity, though, because that's a down team. Man, they've got to get a spark. Got to get a spark and some belief in that outfit. Because if it keeps doing this, what it's doing right now.
Yeah.
It feels like you're going to have some people really bailing.
I think that could be a good dub, right? Because it's a Friday night game, NBA Cup game. They're down. You get a win there. You're within two games of 500. I can get it back really fast. You know, just go out there and win a game.
Yeah, problem is you're gonna be out on the road here in a minute going up against the Knicks. And then I think it's a back-to-back. Even though you have one of those easier teams on the road is Boston. That's on the second night of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
So the road trip's tough. You got OKC coming in. You know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like you better get it. This might be the only place where you could get the spark back with what's coming up. So maybe a little bit more urgency level for me. And this is coming from a guy who was saying, y'all need to look at this season win total. It's going to get bumpy this season. Everybody projecting top four. Hey, I'd love to see it, but I ain't believing it. Even for somebody that was saying that I'm still alarmed because this is starting to look like, if it continues to go this way, as a front office, well, number one, you better raise your hand because you made this mess. But then number two, how much does it change your approach, you know, to going from can we fix this and actually get a play-in or whatever else
are
to
we a tanking team?
We need to be tanking.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, I think that's fair.
I mean, it's building to that point.
Yeah.
Stop it. You still got fans you got to have come down to this to FedEx Forum. You still got to sell tickets, right? I mean, you can't afford to be Utah right now and just say we're trying to get best player and put some around marketing and whatever else. They seem to be cool with it over there. They've been doing it for a while. Did turn into Ja Morant though, didn't it? Back in 2019, he jumped up or whatever. Well, we're not there yet. Let's get some of these pieces back. That urgency level needs to go up. Where's climbing? Where's para? Somebody better step in. Like I mentioned, we'll talk to Drew Hill, 12:30. He'll join us second hour. Usually joins us first hour. We move some things around. Daily Memphian columnist and beat writer for the Grizzlies. What he sees. Am I overreacting? Am I overly negative? Let me spoiler. I'm not. This is all real.
This is a hot mess right now. Nobody wants to go watch this. Nobody wants to go watch KD and T. Morant laughing, talking about Ja doesn't want to be here. It's disgusting. We're going to talk some Memphis Tigers basketball. Got to move on. I have to move on to something else now. Maybe the tone won't get much more optimistic. It will. It will. Penny's going to figure it out, right? I hope so.
Sure.
Just because you're concerned don't mean you can't get it figured out. We'll do that on the other side. We will get happy around here and talking about some Tigers football. The game tomorrow. Lots more to discuss here. Drew Hill going to join us 12:30. Bennett Doyle 125. Lots to do. You're listening to J&J 929.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
FM ESPN. Memphis basketball is going to play its first game on Saturday. I got San Francisco, which is already 1-0 on the season, coming to town. It'll be a 2 p.m. game on ESPN+. And Penny Hardaway says he's got some concerns. Concerns about this team that lost 2 exhibition games to a couple of teams we think are going to be pretty good. And Arkansas and Auburn, although Auburn certainly had its work cut out for it in its opener, having to go to overtime to beat Bethune-Cookman. We talked about it with Coach Norton Hurd IV yesterday. I still expect those teams to be pretty solid. So, performing, poorly for, Penny said other than the first 10 minutes of the first half against Arkansas. I said the whole first half. Either way, early against Arkansas. He thought the rest of it was pretty tough to watch. I'm paraphrasing, but his point was that's where we were good. Still, yeah. I think especially last season, especially with the way the Tigers shot the ball in the two preseason exhibitions, then came back and shot it well, I was still going into the year, even after those two losses, with a relatively optimistic state of mind. You know, Penny's going to get things figured out. Certainly enough talent here to win the American is the way we kind of bottom-lined it. Nah, might not be a five-seed ceiling here, you know, this year. But win the American, see where you're at. You know, try to manage this non-con schedule as best you can. Last year's fourth toughest in the country. You go 10-3. Chances you're going to do that again with a brand-new roster, pretty far-fetched. Can you go 7-6? Can you go 8-5 and just survive this thing? Get you a few quad one wins. We know you're not going to get any in non-conference play. And get enough to be maybe you're back in what had been your sort of usual slot, and that's where Penny Hardaway had been before last season, that sort of 8-9. That might be what it is. But still, had been going into the season expecting another NCAA tournament and everything else. So when I hear from Penny Hardaway that the problem right now, I'm quoting reading his quote over right now from Jason Munzer with Commercial Appeal, the problem right now is the guys that are giving me the energy I want don't have the amount of talent that the other guys have that aren't playing with energy. So it's flipped right now. Is back at the roster guys are hustling, playing hard, probably because they want to get into the line, and the guys that figure they're starting and all that aren't giving him what he needs right now. It was odd to see Doug McDaniel in that second exhibition game. He didn't play as nearly as well or as engaged as he was in the first. I wonder if he's talking about Doug Sincere. Point being that it's kind of flipped on him right now. And to the point that these guys talked about it, I think it was Quante Berry that discussed it. They went and had a team meeting already. So I don't know, Brad. I mean, team meeting in the preseason after two exhibition losses, would you spend that good sign, bad sign?
I mean, I think that it's good that Penny's not pre-gassing the roster, if I'm looking at it as a positive, you know, because we haven't seen a regular season game yet. So, you know, until we get to see a regular season game, and I thought the strangest thing that came out of yesterday was something that we talked about on Gabe's show, which was the fact that Penny alluded to they had not done installs on some of their sets until this week. To me, I'm not a basketball expert. That seems like it's a little late, but they didn't do it before the preseason. They were sort of ad-libbing during the preseason. So that's a little strange because I thought that the point of the preseason is to sort of, you know, take the sets that you install over the first 3 weeks of in-season camp and then trot those out, and then you make adjustments based on what works, what doesn't. Are you a zone team now? Is the man-to-man working? Is somebody better in the man-to-man? Are we going to run flex instead of whatever else we're running? I don't know. So that was interesting.
Brad's referring to this part of the story, and it raised my eyebrow as well, too, Brad, that Hardaway revealed, I'm reading from Munz's story at thecommercialappeal.com, that he had not prepared his team for the zone against Auburn that they sat in for most of the game. That was by design, he said. In fact, the Tigers did not install, as Brad said, any offense for either exhibition game, something he also opted not to do last season when Memphis lost to North Carolina and Alabama. So he's following what he did last year with a team that has an entirely new roster. And while it worked for you last year, I'm with you. This seems late to have not done any. What would be the point then of getting the guys in here June, July, if you're getting them in early?
Right.
If you're not having them go against some zone or having them go against some man to man to the. I mean, I'm and again, it's going to be your own guys until you get to exhibition season. But my point is, I'm trying to get them to see all that. Teams have zoned the Tigers. Now, last year, they couldn't do it because the Tigers were one of the better three-point shooting teams in the country.
Yeah.
So you would typically have to come out of it. But that's been something you've used against Memphis, daring them to shoot, for a lot of Penny's tenure.
That seems smart.
And so, off-season to off-season, these things seem like things I'm working at. And if I'm just trying to let the guys figure it out on their own, well, seems like to me I was doing that in the summer when I was just throwing them out there. It was strange to me to hear that. He did say he did it last year. I mean, that's important to keep bringing up. And if that was the approach, well, it turned out fine. Last year, you ended up having a second-team AP All-American. We don't know if you've got this on that team. Last year, you had a great leader in Tyrese Hunter who made big shots, but more importantly, stepped back as a guy who could have tried to take over everything and let P.J. Haggerty shine. Nice little chemistry there. There's no promise that that's going to happen between Doug and Sincere, whoever you sit next to him. And so it's –
as much preparation as possible with a new roster would seem like the ideal way to go. I think Penny has earned the benefit of the doubt at this point. He is coming off his best season, technically, in terms of what he did in the regular season, sweeping the regular season in the conference tournament titles, getting a 5 seed. Yes, he left too much on the table, not winning that game against Colorado State. A whole lot of reasons why he didn't win it. He left it on the table, didn't win. It was still his best season, my point. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt, but this was not encouraging to hear that he's concerned. He hadn't really installed much in terms of what you're going to see this season,
yeah.
And we're about to roll the ball out there against San Francisco. And let's be real, the most important part of your season, this non-con, because this is where you can get the most quality wins.
Mm.
It certainly doesn't come in conference play. So, yeah, and then to have, Barry tell us, and I appreciate the transparency, that the entire roster held up for about 20 minutes at the facility, a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for everybody to get on the same page, you don't see too many of those. You don't hear about too many of those in the preseason. Hopefully this was this is one that can be, hey, yeah, we got together. It was positive and everything else. We worked out our stuff. And we see the results of a team that's together on Saturday. But I can't come in here and tell you that I'm feeling more encouraged after what Penny said yesterday.
I guess we weren't there, so we won't know. But it is interesting that they're communicating as a group like that, at the very least, to get together and say, man, this preseason didn't probably go the way we wanted it to. Let's figure it out because it's go time now.
I want them talking as much as possible. I want them doing it. I mean that what I've had them since June.
Yeah.
These guys were getting to know each other and everything else. And two exhibition losses. We're not on the same page. It's a little strange, I would say, but it doesn't necessarily mean you won't come out of the gate,
sure,
get that win against San Francisco. That said, from what we've seen, I had already been there, but I think officially lowering the mm-hmm. ceiling on what I think is possible in terms of seeding and everything else. This could get rocky.
One good news is it sounds like they're going to have Sincere Parker. Like, they're going to just ride this legal thing into the season. So it's good they've got Sincere on the roster and he's going to be able to play for them. I mean,
shot the ball well against Auburn. He was one of the few bright spots. So it's good to see that backcourt seems to make the most sense to me, because I don't think you can play Curtis Gibbons at the shooting guard. He hadn't hit a thing.
No, that doesn't seem to be his natural
spot. And that wasn't his bag at LSU. Again, I've always looked at Curtis Gibbons as the backup point guard and the guy that you're going to hand the keys to mm-hmm. after Doug McDaniel this year. That doesn't mean he won't play an important role here.
Good player.
But you're going to – it kind of goes back to what the Grizzlies are facing right now. Yeah. You got to have somebody out there to space the floor for Doug,
right,
who can shoot but also penetrate. Hey, if you don't have anybody that can knock down threes out there, they're going to collapse everything down low and basically say, Doug, you beat us. And so, again – Sincere Parker seems like a guy who can knock down shots. What they're going to do inside with that front court, they're going to have to get more out of their former 5-star big and Bradshaw. I it's a tournament year, but maybe it won't be.
Do you think that they'll go more guard?
Six seed.
Do you think they'll go guard heavy though, since those bigs haven't really held up too well down low?
I mean, that's what he's got, is a bunch of guards and forwards. I don't know that he's got any bigs right now. I mean, Bradshaw's put up the best numbers, but I don't know that he's got any that are going to be effective against a Purdue.
Right.
Against this level of schedule. So I think you're going to see a lot of, to your point, positionless lineups out there. If some of these bigs don't come through, maybe the big kid, Ingram,
mm-hmm.
maybe he can get in shape and give you a Dane-type presence. I know he's probably not going to live up to what Dane ended up being for you last year, but maybe he can do that. We're about to see it, and it's going to count.
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Saturday, 2 o'clock, San Francisco.
I'm excited about it. It's they should beat San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know how excited I am. I think I'm ready for it.
You're less optimistic after the presser.
Yeah, it's just like
I get you.
It's a couple things.
It's different though. I mean, Penny's trying to be more understated though, right? I mean, because it used to be a lot more smoke. So maybe
I don't mind that.
Yeah,
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Well, you add it to team meeting and everything else.
Right.
It sounds a little worse than just underselling your program, right? Hey, man, we ain't that good. We got to get together, trying to throw San
Francisco off. Like Saban would do that.
No, y'all did a team meeting too? Good Lord. Okay.
That might be a little too much information.
Who's playing the best basketball around here in Memphis right now?
Oof.
If it can't be Grizzlies or Tigers. Again, Tigers haven't played an official one.
Well, it's not the Memphis women's team, unfortunately. It doesn't appear.
Lost our opener.
Yeah. Pine Bluff.
Let a young lady, former standout of Horn Lake, come back here and whoop us.
Yeah.
The basketball in the 901, it's rough.
It's right now it's challenged.
Might have to go out to TCA, see something good.
That might be the best basketball in our area, Jason.
There's some talent there. Penny's got a couple offers out to those guys. Curtis Givens and those guys were out there. It's almost like an all-star. I mean, folks, to watch that team, it's almost like a
it's got to be fun, right?
Like all-star weekend in terms of the crowd and everything else. Anyway.
How was the crowd last weekend at the game? They had like a little media open?
Relatively full, but you had a who's who. You had Curtis out there because Chase plays on that team. So you had Curtis coming out with Dad and the whole family and everything else. You had, I want to say, a couple, maybe a Memphis staff member.
Nice.
Over on that side as well. They got dudes with offers from all over the country. I would be all over that team. I think two of them have offers from Memphis. We can get into that.
Memphis gonna blast San Francisco this weekend. We're coming Monday pumped up. I can tell you really believe that. I really do. I really do. I mean, it's San Francisco. Like that ain't a high bar.
We're gonna turn it up in the second hour and talk some Memphis Tigers football. Big one with Tulane tomorrow night at 8:00. We're going to talk about Jalen Duren's performance, what this young man is doing. He's putting up – you know, this dude doesn't turn 22 for another 12 days, Jalen Duren. And he's already got – he's got four 2020 career games.
And it feels like he was at Memphis years ago, and it's only been a couple.
He's an absolute rebounding stud, but now he's added the offense to his game. He's becoming one of the most dominant big men in the NBA and still not even 20. The man just got legal last year, turned 21. Jalen Duren is a rebounding phenomenon. We're going to talk about that and much more in the second hour. Going to be joined as well by Drew Hill, bottom of...
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves. We did it. So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.